Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
We welcome into the studio our guy, B. Scott from Hiram Clark. You'll hear the intro here shortly. And it's been so hard to move off the question today. It's one of those that is taking us back. Lopez, you asked if the babies are still playing dodgeball.
Yeah.
We have kind of conflicting answers from 631. They said their wife is a teacher and dodgeball is no longer allowed to be played in school.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
From the 281, they say yes, they still play dodgeball, but there's a new type of dodgeball that's meant to not hurt the kids. I think that's the little Nerf. Yeah. Dodgeball.
I'm a good source for this.
Yeah, you got the babies too.
I got a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, which, as y'all know, if y'all play dodgeball, that's our dodgeball prime.
That's prime.
That's heyday dodgeball.
Although I was playing high level dodgeball in college. I'm gonna be completely honest.
but it starts. I mean, I guess
right.
It does start. That's the foundation
you're
of
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, my kids, they play what you just described, Reggie, the Nerf ball, kind of softer dodgeball version of it. Like, it's not the intense, you know, like back then, I felt like everybody who either played dodgeball or kickball was another one.
Mm-hmm. Kickball, yep.
I felt like all of us felt like we were good.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't tell us that we weren't good until we got out in that particular game. Like, everyone felt like they had a chance.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. It's just like, it's not,
soft,
that, much, it's not that much of a thing. It's
the kids these days.
Yeah. Shout out to the 832 said in the Marine Corps, which is always a great start, played combat soccer, which was soccer without fouls.
Yeah, I'm scared of that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to play combat anything and, with the Marine Corps.
And I know y'all playing in boots, too. I know that was wild. He said that he was an actual soccer player and had his lungs collapsed twice during one game. All right. Yeah. I feel like twice during one game is your fault.
That's a sign.
One collapsed lung is enough. That is.
Hey, I ain't going to lie. I seen that in street ball.
Oh,
have
my
you ever
God.
Played street ball?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that y'all's generation is doing the back in my day stuff. Because it's not, you know, it's like now y'all know what a, well, back in our day, we weren't soft like this. We played real games.
See, but this is the thing. I'm not doing the back in my day lovingly. I'm doing the back in my day.
Oh, we were
hell,
stupid.
What the hell were we
no,
doing?
We were stupid.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely right. with my thumps thing out there. Like, we out there hitting each other's hands and, like, you know, making, like, basically, like you said in the last segment, Reggie, hurting each other.
That's right.
That was an emphasis for us, was to inflict pain upon one another.
That was the whole idea.
Couldn't get enough of it.
why are we like this?
Yes.
All right, let's go around the NFL now, where the football is, in a way, that children's game carrying forward and inflicting pain, and hopefully scoring touchdowns. But around the NFL is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution to selling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. Quickassyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right.
I'm excited for this. I am excited for this edition of Around the NFL, man. Especially hearing what came from from your former colleagues,
yeah.
man.
Okay,
from your folks.
Let's start there, where apparently Jerry Jones is, as the youths say, crashing out. Jerry Jones joined 105 Through the Fan, our sister station up in Dallas. and with the morning show, which, I mean, he does this weekly.
Yes.
With this particular show, and then he does another hit on Fridays with another show on the station.
On top of the fact that he does his media scrums after the game.
Yes.
Yes.
Like that, like all of that on top of each other.
Yeah, he does more availability than D'Amico Ryans does. He is that available to the media, and so he is very comfortable with these things, except not in this particular instance, where... he crashed out in a big way. In fact, I don't know if we'll get to the audio later, but I just kind of want to like highlight some of the things that were happening within this, where it seemed like he threatened the hosts of said to he said to the morning show, "This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go all over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions."
That ain't seem like.
I'm not kidding.
That does not seem like. That is, I'll get somebody else, cowboy. That's what he's saying.
And all of this is after they got absolutely eviscerated by the Detroit Lions. And it wasn't just that the Lions were beating them. In fact, Jerry Jones said this himself as well, and you mentioned that media scrum after, is that he kind of disliked more than the fact that they lost, that it seemed like they were getting their jollies off of this. Like, mm-hmm. they were out here running trick plays, the Lions were, to the tune of, what was it, 47-9?
Yeah, 47-9 was
running trick plays, running the score up, throwing the ball to the linemen so that they could get scores. Like,
yeah. Which was a joke, like tongue-in-cheek in and of itself, because mm-hmm. they got penalized for not having the guy report as eligible last year or something of that.
Yeah, and that ultimately led to the Cowboys getting a victory over the Lions last year.
Right. Yeah. So they were trolling.
Correct. That is the word, trolling.
Yes, they were trolling on top of the fact that they were, so they were balling and trolling, right? Like, they were balling just in and of itself, and then trolling on top of that. So y'all tell me what you think about this. I cannot stand when someone who does not do your job tells you what your job is or is not. And I get that Jerry Jones is omnipresent, and he's Jerry Jones and powerful and all of that. I understand. But like, I just,
wait, which direction are you going on this? Are you going?
You don't know what my job is. You don't tell me what my job is unless you do my job.
Jerry Jones. Okay, so you're going Jerry to the radio host, because I think some people could go, you know, radio host to Jerry Jones, basically like criticizing him for his decisions and moves.
But he didn't. No. I agree with you, B. Scott, because the radio host didn't say, "Let me tell you how to do your job." They were asking questions about, "Do you think this? Do you think that?" Which is their job.
Okay.
You know?
The radio person's job is to, I would say, not even just radio, I would say media's job is to be critical,
mm-hmm.
right? Is to think about things critically. That's one of the reasons why you go to college,
mm-hmm.
and they'll tell you that in pretty much any media place that you work, that you are there to critique, to enlighten, and in our cases, to entertain as well. But, like, to me, asking questions is not the same as telling somebody how outright, definitively saying, "This is not your job."
Mm-hmm.
You don't tell me what you do your job. And honestly, Jerry, if we're being honest about it, it is not clear that you know how to do your own job, whatever that may be. I understand he's successful in all of that, but like,
depending on what you define success as.
Exactly. Yeah. So master your own craft before you be telling me how to do my job.
But I think that's exactly where this comes from. This is what I like to call lashing out, right? When you feel insecure, when you feel like you have been touched in a particular way, a nerve, then you lash out and you redirect and those types of things. And I think that's what's happening here. One of the things I was talking to you about, mm-hmm. Lopez, was it last week or earlier this week, is when it comes to rich folks, there's not very many ways you can touch them, right? We talk about this a lot with team owners. Like, well, you're going to have to sell the team, so they're going to have to make an ungodly profit of money, right? Like, that's not actually hurting them in a big way.
Yeah.
The way that you can maybe get to them a little bit is embarrassing them, because
mm-hmm.
that is something that they do not have to undertake and abide by very often. And this is where he is right now. I think he is embarrassed, and that is the way that he is now lashing out and acting, because of that embarrassment.
Yeah, I think embarrassment is the word, because what's really odd about it is the way you opened this, talking about how much media and how much press mm-hmm. that Jerry Jones does.
Correct.
And if we're being honest about it, like, the Cowboys have been similarly situated for years now. Like, a team that is often talented mm-hmm. and just as often disappointing. So Jerry Jones has been answering these same types of questions. This isn't the first time that it's gotten testy with them.
No.
This is probably the most awkward that it's been. But in other words, Jerry Jones should be used to this type of critique.
Exactly.
To this type of criticism, this type of scrutiny. So it's odd that it would hit the fan in this way. But I think it is think it is one of those situations where you just kind of get tired of it eventually. You get tired of your own mess that you created.
I think a part of it also is he's lashing out, as you talked about, but he's kind of like lashing out in the wrong direction. Like, I'm gonna tell you that I can get someone else to ask these questions, even though that has nothing to do with anything that is their problem.
Speaking of not getting anyone else, he is assured that he is not going to make any changes on his coaching staff this season.
Oh, know what? I wish Sean or RJ, whoever it was he was talking to.
It was Sean and RJ.
I wish that those guys would have been like, well, you can get somebody to replace us. It's too bad we can't get anybody to replace your ass. You know, like, yeah, you got
that
power.
That goes from annoying him to poking the bear.
And look, I'm not encouraging that they mess up the money, but the point would have remained the same. The point would have been well taken, I think, or would have been valid. Like, oh, replace us? What about if we replaced you?
Yeah.
Which obviously we can't. But if there's anybody, like right now, I'll tell you this, and this is not just because they're our sister station, Sean and RJ better at their job than Jerry Jones is at his.
I think that is a fair
I'll tell you that. Yeah. They're better radio host over there at 105.3 The Fan than Jerry Jones is.
As a general manager in particular.
Why is he so eager to replace a radio host but not his head coach?
Ooh.
That's the question.
Well, he's lame duck anyway. I think he's just kicking that can down the road.
He hasn't said anything close to that about Mike McCarthy.
No, well, not publicly.
He's even going the other way. Yeah. He's going the opposite direction. Yeah. Was it this game or maybe the game before? I think it was this game. It was like, man, I didn't even think about it. It might have been the media scrum on Sunday. I mean, I didn't even think about making a change despite the fact that they were down by close to 40 points. Like, my God. What an embarrassment.
Yeah. Some other things happening around the NFL. We mentioned this earlier. Davante Adams is being traded to the New York Jets. The Raiders receive a conditional third-round pick that could become a second. The Jets take on the money, and they get a dude who has a very unique relationship with Aaron Rodgers and probably easily Aaron Rodgers' best target that he's had in his career. You think that this fixes the Jets, B. Scott?
No. No, absolutely not. Now, finally, the Jets are interesting. Because I'm going to be honest with y'all. All of the Jets conversation that people have on NFL shows, our shows, everything, I'm bored by it. I've been bored by it. Like, it just does not interest me. Aaron Rodgers, to me, and last night I know he had some moments, but especially that Hail Mary, you know, and that's a thing that he does. But Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, washed to me. That whole Jets experience, overplayed. Like, they have not been interesting to me since Hard Knocks last year. Mm-hmm. Like, ever since then, it's just been a boring story. I think this makes them a better football team. But, like, it was my takeaway watching them last night against the Bills. I'm like, man, I think I vastly overrated that division between the Bills.
Oh, the division, Jets, yeah, for sure.
The Bills, the Jets, and even the Miami Dolphins. Like, no team over there scares me or makes me think that they're, you know, going to threaten the Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens or even the Texans for that matter, which we can get into later. But like, it's just not happening to me over there. They don't have enough competent leadership to make things happen over there with the Jets. And it's been that way for a long time. But I will say they are at least more interesting. And Halloween night or
the Halloween game got
a lot more interesting for sure.
They may not be scary, but they're scarier when it comes to the Texans.
Yeah, especially with the I posited it that way because of the particular issues that you have secondary wise, and where will Kamari Lassiter be at that point?
Could they win that game? Listen, Lopez, you were there last year.
Yeah,
they beat the Texans with Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
all right. So yeah, like no, I'm not ruling them out of being able to.
And it's a short week, and you're on the road.
No, yeah, they could beat the Texans. Yeah. They absolutely could beat the Texans. I'm not going to rule anybody out in that sense. I'm just looking at it from more of a bigger picture. I don't see this being the catalyst that fixes things for the Jets or heals all wounds. I think that they are a divine. Now, I do think it perfectly places Garrett Wilson into a number two role because he is a top receiver.
Yeah.
But you make Garrett Wilson your number two receiver, and now I think you are
scarier.
Cooking. I think you're scarier, and you are cooking with grease. I'll give you that much. But just overall as an operation, I don't trust it. I don't believe in it. Could they beat the Texans on Halloween? Sure. Are they really headed somewhere? I don't think so.
All right. So within that kind of Jets sphere, but kind of outside of it in some ways, it's Hassan Reddick. He was traded from the Eagles to the Jets. I know you forgot him. I seen it in your eyes. Forgot that he existed. But
just made me remember. That's right.
That's right.
He does exist.
And he might exist in football once more as the Jets have given him and his new agent, his new representative, Drew Rosenhaus, the go-ahead to search for a trade. So after being traded this offseason to the Jets and not playing a single down and accruing, I think, something like $5 million in fines that cannot be waived, he will now be looking for another place to play. And before I even throw this up to you, don't forget, the Lions just lost a defensive player of the year type candidate for maybe the season, although they are standing on the idea that he might be able to return. Is that the pairing that ultimately happens, which is Hassan Reddick to the Lions?
Ooh, I actually had not even considered Hassan Reddick to the Lions. I am fascinated by it. And I think that is something, like, if they're able to pull that off, like, watch out. Because the Lions, I think they're going to be fine even without Aiden Hutchinson.
Really?
So, I think they'll be fine.
Okay.
Like, it just in terms of competing, like, being one of the players in the NFC, like, the Lions, my view of them, opposite of the Jets. Pretty much got most of everything going for them right now.
Down to the culture, in fact.
Yeah, for sure. But speaking of culture, this is I'm glad you brought Hassan Reddick up, because this is a perfect example of why to not believe in the Jets. Like, it's not, you know, the Robert Saleh stuff. It's not even just the Aaron Rodgers stuff. It's not what's the impact of the Devontae Adams trade. Peel the layer back just a little bit and remember that this is the team that traded for a guy that was in a contract dispute but did not settle anything.
Didn't have it set up.
Did not have a plan contractually to do anything with this guy. And now we're going to lose him despite having traded for him, or basically not going to have his services at all. So, like, to me, that is a window into the dysfunction, the incompetence, the issues that are the New York Jets. The organizational issues that are the New York Jets right now.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
Some other things real quickly before we go. Ricky Pearsall, who is the wide receiver for the Niners, unfortunately, he was shot in the chest. Obviously, no fault of his own, just kind of happenstance in some ways.
Broad daylight.
Yeah.
Wild thing that Ricky Pearsall situation. 44 days after he was shot in the chest, he returned to practice yesterday. Man. So he was very fortunate in the location of the shot that it did not do major damage. And so he is back. He's back to football activities. And so he's opened his 21-day practice window as he comes back from the reserve non-football injury list.
Yeah, I don't mean to trivialize, but when you're gone, it's kind of this out of sight, out of mind.
Absolutely. Thing. Players have talked about that, how they just feel disconnected from the team.
Yeah. And so they feel disconnected for the team. From a fan standpoint, you stop thinking about a player as much. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember, this is a first-round pick. And a surprise first round pick for many people. Now, he balled out at Florida. This guy is somebody that could really contribute to an already loaded San Francisco 49ers roster. You know, all prayers go out to him and like just the human side of the recovery part. Glad to see that he looks like he's going to be fine, going to be okay, going to be able to resume his career. Really just start.
Get back.
Really even start. He's a rookie. And, you know, and this happened before the season could even really get going. So great for him. I am intrigued to see what kind of element this adds to a 49ers team that is loaded but has also dealt with a lot of injuries this
year. That's right. Real quick, and as we're going, Jim Harbaugh, we mentioned that he had had some heart issues, some arrhythmia that caused issues before the Chargers Broncos game this weekend. He is confident, he says, that his heart condition is under control. He will be wearing a heart monitor.
Yeah,
that scares me.
That's a sign, man.
I'm just going to tell you, man.
No, I told him off air.
That scares the hell out of me.
I told Reggie off air, that's a sign, man. You got to start thinking about things differently.
No, I mean, that is vital organs we're talking about here. Your heart.
The most vital organ, in fact.
Yeah. Goes without saying.
Maybe outside of the brain. All right. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We got B. Scott for the whole hour, and let's make the most of it. Coming up next, we get into B. Scott's thoughts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Hieroglyph, beast guy.
Beast guy from Hieroglyph, beast guy.
Yeah. Yeah, the man is in the studio with us, as he is every Tuesday at 1 p.m. His name is Brandon K. Scott, otherwise known as B. Scott from Hiram Clark. B. Scott, appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Attitude, and of course, B. Scott hanging out with you. And now, without any further ado, we get into B. Scott's thoughts, because there's stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so the big takeaway from their win, the Texans' win over the Patriots, is the question about what are they going to do without Nico Collins, asked and answered.
Yeah.
And I thought this was really the thing. They somehow, the Texans, managed to answer every question that they had going into this game. What do you do without Nico Collins? Can you establish the run? Can you stop the run? We understand that Ramondre Stevenson's not going to be in this game, but can you stop the run, since that's the only thing that the Patriots offense does well? Are you going to cause problems for the rookie quarterback making his first start? Okay, all of those things asked and answered, and they still left some meat on the bone.
Yeah.
They still did not. Like, they managed to score 41 points. They managed to beat a team by 20 points, so pass the sticks, skunk, and still come away from it saying, you know what, we are 5-1 and have yet to play an A game. Like, our best game so far might be a B plus, A minus at best.
Correct.
But we have not played an A plus game. And, oh, by the way, we lost our biggest weapon up until this point. But guess what? We replaced him with another guy who, just like the guy we lost, cannot be replicated on this roster. Like, they basically have 2 to 3 guys like this on their team.
Yeah.
Nico Collins, Joe Mixon, C.J. Stroud, like certain guys that are on the team that you just cannot replicate what they bring to the table. And the timing of it is exactly perfect. So, that's my big takeaway.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things I was talking to Reggie and Figgy about yesterday is not just that, but like this is kind of what you're saying. The stars are starting to shine, like starting to step up. And I feel like perfect timing, because here you go into week 7 and the teeth of the schedule. You know, Nico's going to come back eventually, but Joe Mixon is a star, you know, on this team. Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs started to show what they... I mean, Stephon Diggs right now, I believe, is 4th in the league in receiving?
Receptions?
I think in receptions, he's 4th in the league. That's big time. And that kind of snuck up on me when I looked at that. And then not only that, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Yes.
They look like stars.
Thank you, Lopez. That was the other question, right? Because we talked about this last week.
Yes. Correct.
They got to get home. They got to have a big day. Yeah. Like, everybody that's concerned, we see them in the chats or on the text lines.
You can just say my name, okay?
No, it's not even just you, though. It's everybody. Like, we've all kind of had the question, like, okay.
You in that chat room?
Are they going to?
Sometimes.
Are they going to get home, though? And so that was another one, asked and answered.
And they're starting, and what timing it is, you know, because now you're getting into this tougher part of the schedule. And the other thing is, to your first point, they missed a field goal, and CJ threw an interception in the end zone. Otherwise, you're looking at 50, you know, putting 50.
Yeah.
And I don't care, you know, what anybody says. Now, I know butterfly effect and all that. Maybe some other things don't happen. But you're looking at a 50-point, you know, game against an NFL team.
Yes, Stephon Diggs tied for 4th in reception.
That was a surprise to me. I mean, it shouldn't have been. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, man, he has constantly been there and available when CJ has needed to get him the ball. And, I mean, he's been pretty good on third down. I thought third down did present kind of an interesting window into it, because they weren't as efficient as I would hope them to be against this Patriots team. But some of that was, you had some drops in those types of situations. Yep. I think you're right. Asked and answered on the level that the questions were asked. I think that the next level, and of course, you can maybe position this as moving the goalpost, which I think would be a fair way of looking at it, is, okay, But now let me see it against that high level competition. I think you have a chance, obviously, with that next week.
All right. So this is my other thing. All right. I don't know. Y'all tell me if you can remember Lopez, because you've covered him as long as I have, and remember, and even remember him as a player. I cannot remember D'Amico Ryans ever giving a take as strong as the one that he gave yesterday about Jordan Love. But he says that Jordan Love is the best quarterback that they will have faced up until this point. There. That is the hottest, flamingest of takes. Because think about it. We understand that Jordan Love arrived last year officially. But the Texans played against Josh Allen a couple of weeks
ago.
That
is correct.
And I don't think anybody, even your highest, your most optimistic and your biggest Jordan Love supporter wouldn't, I don't think, fix their mouth to say that he's passed Josh Allen in the quarterback hierarchy or pecking order just yet. But D'Amico Ryans, about as credible of a football mind, especially on the deep, but just period, as you'll find, says, hey, man, this is the best quarterback that we've seen so far. I was not expecting that. That shocks me that he would say that, because he's also not dumb.
No.
So he knows what that means. He knows what he's saying. He knows who the quarterbacks are that they've already faced. So for him to give that much praise to Jordan Love, who, again, I do believe in Jordan Love as being, like, legit good. Mm-hmm. I'm not challenging it. I just found it to be interesting and spicy and not something that I would expect from D'Amico Ryans. I'm interested to see now what is the – like, what's the messaging to the team?
I think that's what it is.
And how do they get up for a game like this?
I think that's what it is.
Since their coach thinks that this is the best quarterback they play.
I think D'Amico Ryans is feeling it. I think he's feeling what we're talking about. We're starting to hit a stride here. Sorry for the cliche. We're starting to get, you know, performances out of our stars.
I think it fits. I think the cliche fits this time.
Yes, and he's talking to his team as much as he's talking to us. Like, this is going to be a huge game for us to go into Green Bay and get it done. So he's like, that might be the best quarterback. He's talking to us and his own squad.
Yeah, I do think that there's definitely a few ways you could possibly position this. One of those is the idea that, hey, he is gearing his team up for the challenge that awaits. And so might as well. It's almost like how in politics, this is the most important election of your lifetime. Every next election is that. And so in that way, the next quarterback is the best quarterback or the biggest challenge that you will face, right? Yes. Maybe that is, there's that. I do wonder, is it possible that D'Amico Ryans possibly playing mind games in some ways where you kind of pump up the opposition and give them an opportunity to feel themselves? I don't know if that's like something that he would be willing to get into. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that is what he is trying to do, but that was something I thought as well. And then there's a possibility that maybe, just maybe, he saw the way that Josh Allen performed and was like, nope, Jordan Love is going to play us more difficult than that situation.
That part. I think that was, because I was going to say, D'Amico Ryans is not hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans is not here for shock value. Like, he's just not that type of coach. And, like, this is not to pit him against, like, a Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
But you got some coaches that will give you interesting, even the Harbaughs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got certain coaches that will say things that will make you go, huh.
Yeah.
Did he say that really? Or did he mean what he said? D'Amico Ryans is more likely to not say a thing than he is to say a thing. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, if he says it, he means it. But maybe if he doesn't say it, doesn't necessarily mean that it's not there.
We've got examples.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we got examples that just a long line of examples that. But I think that ties in with what I'm saying, like and kind of what Reggie's saying as well. It's like, you know, he's trying to maybe get them focused, refocused. Like, this is no chump that we're facing, so don't start feeling yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
this is kind of a side note. I know we did around the NFL already, but since we're, you know, talking about D'Amico Ryans and the Packers, the NFC North ended up being what some people, and myself included, probably thought the AFC East was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like a division full of competitive teams, all of which could be possible playoff teams within their own right.
I mean, they all have four wins at least.
Yeah. Well, like the record speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But even, you know, the Texans and, you know, us watching it, like, we're going to have to watch all of them, right? And we've watched two of them already, and we understand that was just Caleb Williams' second game. The Bears have gotten better since they played the Texans. Obviously, we know what happened with the Vikings. And here we go now with the Packers. The Lions, I think, speaks for itself. And here we go with the Packers now. Like, this is a tremendous test for this team.
Wait, hold on. And looking at the divisions, The NFC North literally has, I believe, if I'm reading this correctly.
I don't think they have a losing team.
No, they don't.
Last place is 4-2.
They also have the four highest point differentials in the league. All four.
All positive, right?
Yes.
And I think they're the only division, correct me if I'm wrong on this, that has all four teams with positive point differentials.
You would be correct in that.
I don't think there's another division like that. Mm-hmm. This is the creme de la creme, as they say, mm-hmm. The cream of the crop, if you will. So I think that, D'Amico Ryans is trying to get his team ready for it. But I think there's some truth, because I mean, that's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
But I think that's his truth. I think mm-hmm. he said that because he meant that about Jordan Love.
For sure. All right. You got one more thing you want to get off here, right?
Yeah, I didn't know if we were doing Rocket stuff.
You can go Rocket.
No, I thought you were talking about mixing.
Look, I've been holding myself back from doing Rocket stuff at this point. As I'm sure you know, I told you, I'm going to the preseason game tonight to get a feel for the landscape. So if you want to get into Rockets here, if you want to talk about something else, we can as well.
All right, so tell you what.
Or we can talk Rockets and what's popping as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking we could get to Rockets in... It was popping, but my whole thing with Mixon and this AFC South, like, I think that for the most part, Mixon, so it's the AFC, if they're going to have Mixon and then Nico Collins is going to come back, like, this is a wrap. This is kind of similar to how we saw them in the Colts game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if they're going to have this multi-dimensional attack, this ability to... beat you down the field and add Joe Mixon to the mix. Like, this is a wrap, the AFC South.
Sure, certainly.
And honestly, like, outside of the Chiefs, and you could probably throw the Ravens in that conversation, mm-hmm. there is not another AFC team that I think should scare you or should make you wonder after what you watch with Joe Mixon. I understand it was against the Patriots, and the first time they did it was against the Colts. But it's the bones to me of the formula, I would say, of a successful AFC team right now.
It is to borrow a phrase from Stephen Godfrey of the Split Zone Duo podcast, it is a proof of concept.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So and again, I mentioned this earlier, I think that there's a level of scarring having covered that Cowboys team. You see the way that they're going about mm-hmm. their things. They have 12-5 records over the last three seasons as well, right? Yeah. I want to see it on the biggest stage, and of course, you'll have an opportunity this week.
For sure, for sure. You used to work with Stephen Godfrey, the SB Nation.
No, I didn't get to work with Stephen Godfrey.
I did.
Oh, you did.
I did. Yeah. Many moons ago.
Okay,
yeah,
fresh
out of college.
Well, I know what we'll talk about in this break.
That's my guy.
That's exactly what we'll talk about in this break. But when we come back on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, we'll get into what's popping, including a little bit of Rockets talk. Been waiting for this. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Popping.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop. Sports Radio 610, of course. Lopez, Figgy, and myself, Reginald Attitude. Plus, the great addition of Brandon Scott, as we do in these 11
Where's
o'clock
he from?
Hours. I believe it's definitely Houston.
For sure from Houston.
Southern part of Houston.
Yeah. Stafford.
Yeah. Not quite.
I did go to school in Stafford. I did go to school in Stafford and know some people out there very close to them. But no, I am from one Hiram Clark.
Okay. Tell them people.
Windsor Village, to be specific. If we want to get very, very specific about it. So shout out to Post Oak and West Orm.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, that's your boy.
Talk to them folks, man. Scott, talk to them folks. All right. In fact, let's talk to them folks even more. I would like to get into what it seems like is a Rockets topic that you have available for us. I want to do that. Let's go ahead and start there.
Why so I just feel like the big part of this season for the Rockets, okay, and how do they go from here to there? How do they go from 41 wins to 46, or really just whatever it takes to get into that play-in? What's mm-hmm. going to be the difference?
Right.
And it 100%, because think about this. They are returning back. This is the exact same team.
Yeah. Yes, they are actually returning the most minutes of any team in the NBA.
It's the exact same team, man. Correct. Like, mm-hmm. like save for adding, really, in terms of guys that are going to play, Reed Shepard, I think, is going to play his way onto the court because he's got a special quality.
Sure. Yeah. He seems like he's backup point guard at this point.
Yeah, he would have to be, at least to me. We'll see how it plays out. And then, of course, Steven Adams is going to play. Those are guys that did not play for them last year, mm-hmm. okay? But outside of that, it's the exact same team.
Yeah.
You're inserting Tari Eason, who didn't play for much of last year. But it's the exact same operation, okay?
Correct.
The difference is going to have to be Jalen Green channeling what he was in March And I know Lopez is not a believer in this because we've seen a lot of it.
No, we were just talking about him before the show.
Well, we've seen a lot of it, okay? Yeah. And a lot of what we've seen so far through three seasons is inconsistency. A shot of brilliance here, a shot of the exact opposite there.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, this seems to be the player that he is, but this is going to be year two under M.A. Udoka, right? This is going to be, like, to me, an opportunity to take all the pieces of the puzzle and finally just, because they're all just kind of scattered all over the damn
right.
place.
Mm-hmm.
Take them and finally put them together. I don't think he's got to be like the next coming of Kobe Bryant or anything like that, but he's got to be as close to what he was in March consistently throughout the year. If you get some version of that consistently, and again, it doesn't have to be like this out of this world every night like he was in March, but something as close to that more often than not, like more consistently, that'll be the difference between the team being the 41 win on the cusp of the play-in and actually being a play-in team. Because it's going to be, to me, they're the same team, but the route to get to where they're trying to go is more difficult because Memphis is back with Ja Morant.
Yes.
San Antonio is in year two with the French
and Chris
freak.
Paul.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Chris Paul is now inserted into this Victor Wembanyama experience.
Correct.
So like all of those things to me should be better. Where are the Rockets going to be better? Where are they going to be more consistent? And to me, that's where it's got to take place.
Can I simplify your Jalen Green stance here?
Sure.
You have to determine if he's a star or not.
Well, I mean,
not a superstar. You have to determine if he's a star or not.
And see, the issue for me is that I kind of gave up on that last year.
Yeah.
And then this is the role. This is the Jalen Green roller coaster. I'm glad you said that
mm-hmm.
because that's what I said last year. And then he took us on the roller coaster of, oh, hell no, he's not a star. Like the way he started the season last year, it's like, oh, no, this guy's not a star. A lot of the Rockets folks, Rockets Twitter or Rockets Internet folks were like, man, trade this guy. Get rid of this guy. Bench. I even said on the H-Town Hoops podcast mm-hmm. that I thought, not because I don't like Jalen Green, but
sure.
because I thought that it might even help him and therefore help the team to just kind of see it from a different lens or come into the game under a different circumstance and bring him off the bench. But then March happened.
Exactly.
And March was absolutely superstar status. I like how you put it. Not superstar, but a star. If he can be something like he was in March more consistently, not necessarily as great as that, but something like it more consistently.
24 and a half a game.
That's stardom.
Yeah.
That is exactly stardom. And then you should still be, and I know you agree with me this. Agree with me on this, Lopez. You should be building around Alperen Şengün.
Sure. Well, and that's what I was talking with Reggie about before the show. Jalen Green as a number three. But then the counterpoint is, isn't there a lot of number threes that can do what Jalen Green does? You can find him, I should say. But as a number three on this squad, I could live with that.
Yeah. Oh, man. As a number...
Well, that's kind of insulting, but I could live with that.
So if Jalen Green is your number three, though, but then who's your number two?
Number two? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And to me, to put a bow on that point,
mm-hmm.
Jalen Green absolutely has the best chance at being a number two from where we sit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you could argue Amen Thompson if he had a shot, and Jalen, I know, has an inconsistent shot. So we're not talking about
that's
much more
saying.
There.
Yeah.
But Amen doesn't have one at all. I think if he had a jump shot, he'd be in that conversation, but without it, the only other guy to me that could even be a number two right now from where we sit would be Jalen Green. And he absolutely has to be that. Like, to me, it's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
He just has to do that. Like, point blank, period.
Otherwise, he's not enough of a role player to fit in the... He would have to have star-level play out of him, especially because he is in his final year, and it seems evident that they're not going to give him an extension, so he'll... You either get him in restricted free agency, and at that point, the decision is, are you willing to go over and above to make sure he stays? And at that point, if you are going over and above, it's because you know that he's a star-level player that can kind of be part of the foundation, even though he won't be like the significant foundation that is Alperen Şengün.
His skill set, what he brings to the table, his style, to me, does not really fit well for a role player.
Like exactly.
He's got to either be a star or nothing.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
see, I don't agree, Gabby, because the Western Conference is really, really good.
Correct.
And in order to be among those the top tier, you have to have a number three that can give you that on a given night. I mean,
yeah,
look at the best team.
On a given night, but when he is not
you charged, don't count on
when
it
he's not charged with that, he needs to be able to do other things as well. Right. You need to be able to build the entirety of the system as well. and he doesn't have a role within that. He is just, I think what you've described is lesson number three and more of a six man, where it's just like, come and get buckets.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't think that he is in a position, especially with what you're trying to figure out on paying him his next contract, to be a six man.
But buckets is a number three to me. Like at the top of, depending on where you want to be in the Western Conference.
To me, his skill set, like he's somebody that things that you have to get involved, and he got better at this last year, but he doesn't do a lot of the other stuff as much. Like, and he got better. I hate to even say this because he got so much better at the other stuff last year, I thought, especially down the stretch. But man, just his skill set to me. And again, I think it goes more to this point. There ain't no number two.
Yeah.
So like, if he's your number three, two comes before three. So like
is that so?
So that's like, there's a gap there. Like, there's just not another, to me, candidate to be in that role. So if he can't do it, that's going to be a problem. That's just going to be a flat out problem for the Rockets, unless we're making some personnel moves, we're bringing somebody in, and the team's going to look different.
Mm-hmm.
But based off the way the team looks now, he cannot be your number three, because you're not going to be much better than you were last year.
Right, and the 8-3-2, y'all sleeping on Cam Whitmore. I think that is all developmental for, I think when you're talking about this, we're talking about what is going to be able to, can you slot guys in now? And you have to make that decision a lot more sooner, because this is the final year of Jalen Green's
Listen. You talking to the wrong person to be talking about sleeping on Cam Whitmore. This is the guy who wanted them to draft Cam Whitmore at number four overall to do the dumb thing, because he was available at 20 and they got him at 20. I wanted him to be their first pick when they picked that year. Yeah. All right. So I've been a Cam Whitmore guy from the very beginning. I am worried that he might be the odd man out. He might be somebody that's riding the bench. And I don't want this, because I'm a big Cam Whitmore supporter.
But they're gonna need to trim that and rotate. I don't know that you can rotate 12-13 guys on a given night.
They've got a numbers issue at the wing position. Yeah. So they'll have to figure that out.
All right. Rockets will play a preseason game at home tonight, 7 p.m. versus the New Orleans Pelicans. That's a team that does not have a lot of size. Looks like Williamson will have to play a lot of center there. Some other things in what's popping before we go here. We're about one month out from Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. That's November 15th. Netflix has a trailer out, and we're getting some news on kind of the betting. Now, Mike Tyson is the underdog. However, he represents 67% of the handle on DraftKings, 66% of the handle at Westgate Sportsbook or Superbook, and a vast majority at Caesars. How excited are you guys for this potential fight?
Like that's one that's a must see.
Okay.
If nothing else, because of the Mike Tyson factor. Like, he's old.
That is correct.
He's old.
Yeah.
And that's me saying that. But the fact that the betting handle is that much on him, it's still Mike Tyson.
So I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah. I
agree with everything that Lopez just said. Y'all tell me this, though. Are you uncomfortable with the idea that it feels like somebody could die in this?
Yes.
And I don't know who it is. Like, I feel like Mike Tyson could kill this kid. And I feel like this kid could kill old man Mike Tyson.
100%. Yeah.
I feel like it could happen either way.
That's one of the reasons why, like, the uber moralistic portion of me is like, I should not watch this fight.
But
right?
You are.
This goes against like the spirit of boxing. This is not a boxing competition. This is spectacle, which boxing has really moved towards largely, at least at the higher rungs, is just, let's put spectacle. Hey, let's have Floyd Mayweather fight Conor McGregor, right? This is spectacle as opposed to about the boxing competition of it.
Yeah.
However, the spectacle is really interesting.
It's so interesting. Like,
they made the spectacle really,
it
really
works,
interesting.
Doesn't it? Yeah. It works.
As a younger man, I watched Mike Tyson in WWE/F back in the day. So, I'm down for a spectacle. I would like for them to come to some sort of agreement that they're not allowed to actually kill each other, because I don't want to see a man die. That's my only stipulation. I'm here for the spectacle. I'm here for the fun. Let's do pay-per-view or whatever we're going to do. Let's do it. Let's invite people over or go to the bar. Let's drink beers, shots. Let's do all of that. But please don't let one of these men kill the other in front of me.
Man, hope that has all
the markings of something that could get ugly.
It feels like somebody could die.
It feels ugly.
Month out, that'll be on Netflix. And then, of course, baseball kept going yesterday. Mets get a win 7-3 over the Dodgers to level that one out. And then the Yankees handle up on the Guardians 5-2. And so they'll go again in their game too tonight. But yeah, all those things popping in the world of sports. Appreciate you, B. Scott.
So much fun.
It's always a delight. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Coming up next in the loop, Do the Texans low-key have a linebacker problem? We'll listen to that and some other things from D'Amico Ryans next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app